Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast on Tuesday, October 28th. That's one of the most infamous dates in California and federal judicial history, and we'll get into that. It's quite a story. Anyway, among birthdays today, we have Tycho Brahe, who's the astronomer, and in the 15th century, we had also the peace of Westphalia that ended, it was 1648, that ended the Holy Roman Empire. And so also there was a 30 Years' War. Also, in 1847, the world's first soccer club was set up in, of all places, England. In 1871, the anti-Asian, particularly the Chinese, feeling in California, there was a lynching of 18 Chinese in Los Angeles. Now the Chinese are flexing their political muscle. We have a Chinese ethnic Lee, mayor of San Francisco, a Chinese who are dominating the San Francisco board of supervisors or city county councilors. And they've got the money, and of course, it's a 5,000-year empire, China. China means Middle Kingdom, incidentally. And they're a lot smarter than other Asian groups, the Indians, the Filipinos, the Japanese. Japanese aren't far behind the Chinese when it comes to political intrigue and knowing how to use their political influence and political muscle. Also on this day, we had Anna Taylor was the first woman to go over the Niagara Falls in a barrel. It's 1901. She survived. 1911, a British Royal Navy captain, Robert Falcon Scott, started his fatal expedition to the South Pole, and he froze to death. And they just found recently a bottle of, I think it was scotch, which is still drinkable. And, of course, Ronald Amundsen, the Norwegian, beat Scott to the South Pole. Juan Williams composed a great symphony called Symphony Antarctica to commemorate Robert Falcon Scott's expedition. Also, another fateful day in 1929. On this day, the stock market began its crash. Some people think it's going to happen again. And in places like San Francisco, which has become a one-industry town, it is techies, There's no more hardware manufacturers, warehouses, no more paint manufacturers. We have restaurants, expensive restaurants, latte shops, bicycle shops, but these all support the techies who can afford to buy this, conspicuous consumption articles. We'll see if the techie thing crashes, that these industries are not going to be able to survive, or I should say, businesses. 1935, Mussolini decided that he wanted Ethiopia because he claimed that the Italians, the Romans, were there back in B.C. time, and so he decided to try to reclaim what the Romans had occupied in the Roman Empire. And here's something. In 1939, before World War II, Nupont Dunois in Delaware, who was a French Huguenot family, invented the nylon stockings that were first sold in Wilmington, Delaware. And, of course, the war came along, and so women were asked to turn in their nylon stockings so that these could be made into parachutes. And also in 1940, the 40-hour work week was established by the Roosevelt administration. In 1956, I vaguely remember this, I was a child, the Hungarians under Janos Kadar decided to, they were going to free themselves from Soviet domination that was behind the Iron Curtain. And Andropov was the Soviet ambassador to Hungary. He was later head of the KGB and later briefly the premier of Russia, or first secretary. So they sent in, Khrushchev sent in troops to crush the Hungarian Revolution. And those who fled, two youths came to our school to work on our farm. I vaguely remember that. I don't know what they're doing now. Also on this day, to talk about another uprising, Salvador Allende was elected president of Chile, and the business interest here in the United States decided that this guy was bad news for their economic imperialism. That's what he thought American industries like Anaconda, IT&T, were doing to Chileans and other South Americans. So they worked on starting a coup with Pinochet and the other disaffected Chilean military, and they overthrew Salvador Allende, and I think it was a year later. In 1989, Jim Baker and his wife were convicted of fraud, and he was sentenced to 50 years, but he didn't serve that. Also on this date, I forgot about the Poles, decided that the Polish unions decided that they wanted to become independent, and so Solidarity was the name they used. And finally, with enough pressure, especially in the shipyards of Poland, Solidarity was recognized by the communist government there. Now, among the other birthdays today, we had there briefly a guy who used to play Harry Truman, James Whitmore. Moss Hart, who was a famous playwright, he was born on this day. The successor to J. Edgar Hoover, Clarence Kelly, was the first FBI bureau chief or director after J. Edgar Hoover's long tenure. F. Murray Abraham, famous actor who also played in Amadeus and also in Gandhi, got Academy Award for that one. His birthday is today. Among the deaths today was Jane Seymour. She was the third wife of Henry VIII, and I think she was the mother of the only male child that Henry VIII was able to father and who lived. Mary, the Spanish queen, the first one, and the only legal wife, according to the Pope, all of the male children died in childbirth. Tycho Brahe, the great astronomer, died on this day. And the guy who started the most famous Parisian fashion house, Christian Dior, he didn't live that long. He died in 56. He was 56 years old. And then a great breakthrough in baseball, and of course we've got the World Series here in San Francisco, Jackie Robinson was hired by Branch Ritchie of the New York Dodgers. They later became the Los Angeles Dodgers. She's a great newscaster, journalist. Jessica Savage got in a car crash and drowned along with her dog. She was like 35 years old, good-looking woman also. And the guy who invented, who created Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, he died on this day. Among the things people, political animals, and I call the Washington Post a political animal because of the influence that it has, not only because of where it's located, but all its contacts that they've had over the years. For instance, the guy who just died, Brent Bradley, went to Harvard, and he made some interesting comments about when he was had to do a physical exam, and there were some things that didn't sound right that happened at that exam. He didn't get into specifics, but anyway, they had their connections with the various organs of the federal government and business. And, of course, this was a paper bought by one of the first major Jewish acquisitions. Eugene Meyer was Jewish. I don't know if he practiced. And his daughter, Catherine, married a guy named Graham. And, of course, that was an anglicized name, Jewish ethnic. And she later worked at the San Francisco Chronicle and became a Lutheran. I don't know what her daughter runs the paper now, but although it's been sold to the guy that started Amazon. Then, of course, the connection to Deep Throat, a lot of controversy among the people that I knew and when I worked in the government. Was Mark Felt, the deputy director of the FBI, really the Deep Throat? What my sources, who are Army military and other government people, claim that, first of all, the FBI does not have access to security in the White House. That's the province of the United States Marines. Now, my sources tell me and others that Deep Throat was actually a Marine colonel. It may have been this guy Breen. He's the only colonel that I know who was in the White House at the time of the Nixon administration. May have been another colonel. Anyway, Mark Felt was actually, what we are told, was actually a conduit, and so was Woodward and Bernstein. Now, it's interesting, the San Francisco Bay Guardian was it was a so-called progressive paper, but actually it's a communist paper, closet commies. One of the interns who worked there was the daughter of Bob Woodward, Talia Woodward. She didn't stay there very long, and nobody ever did. And, of course, that paper just died. As it was it became a freebie. It used to cost 25 cents and came out twice a week. It was a much better paper then. Then they embraced the gay agenda and they were the first newspaper on the West Coast to publish male frontal nudity and dump these publications at all the schools in San Francisco, and the school district teachers and administrators were furious at Brugman, who came from Iowa. And, of course, the paper, they later twice sued the Chronicle and the Joint Operating Agreement, claiming that this was restraint of trade and conspiracy and all the rest, and twice they got big settlements, and the last time, I think it was $750,000, they bought a building in BMW's and Mercedes, and we have the videos of what was in their parking lots in that building. And, of course, they became increasingly irrelevant, and people couldn't afford the lifestyle that they were promoting, and they've got their death was long overdue and well-deserved. We'll get into more of that because some interesting things that they did do, such as fight the height of the people who were trying to expand the height limits. Now, we've got the World Series, and here's a series that we are a new series that we're starting, and it's called "If You're Coming to San Francisco, Don't Wear Flowers in Your Hair. Wear a crash helmet." There's motoring mayhem and bicycle mayhem here in San Francisco and in other parts of Northern California. People just do not obey the rules of the road, and they're getting away with it. They're not getting ticketed. They're not getting pulled off the road. Now, something interesting happened in France during August, which is when the French go on vacation. And several years ago, the French police decided that they were going to really punish and discourage drunk driving and reckless driving. So what they did was they stopped these violators on the roads and took the keys away from their cars and made them walk back to Paris or take a bus or whatever or hitchhike. Maybe we need to do that here. If you're coming to San Francisco, be very careful. There's a lot of reckless driving. The bicyclists, if you're a pedestrian, you got to look out for the bicyclists. And even some bicyclists have to look out for motorists. And, of course, what's happening in New York, people are getting so upset with the arrogance of these bicyclists that some of them are being shot. This is, you know, it used to be they shoot horses, don't they? Now the word is they shoot bicyclists, and shouldn't they, or should they not? So we're going to have more of the rest of the story, the affordable housing racketeering that's going on here, and also what the connection of the terrorist attack in the Canadian Parliament. Actually, this is the second terrorist attack in Canada. The first one was in Quebec in October of 1970. At the time, I was working with the American Civil Liberties Union and Jay Miller, who was brought in as executive director. He formerly ran the Illinois American Civil Liberties Union, or ACLU. And what had happened in Quebec was that the terrorists, they wanted to... Quebec leave. They wanted Quebec to be to free itself from the Canadian Federation. And what they did was they kidnapped and assassinated a government official, a provincial government official. Now, their provinces are equivalent to our states. So Pierre Laporte was kidnapped and he was assassinated and dumped in the trunk of a car. And also a British official, Cross, was kidnapped. He wasn't killed, I recall. Anyway, the premier, the prime minister of Canada at the time was Pierre Trudeau, who incidentally went to Harvard, and his family made money in gasoline stations in Quebec. Anyway, he invoked a Canadian law called the War Measures Act, and that put the province of Quebec, which is as big as Texas, if not bigger, and put them under martial law. A lot of people were very upset about that, including people down here in the United States. And the American Civil Liberty Union, some of the chapters decided to try to assist with funding the Canadian Civil Liberties Unions up there. And we had a discussion at a board meeting about sending aid and money to the Canadians because we, our directors, Jay Miller and the board, did not approve of what Pierre Trudeau did under the guise of suppressing insurrection and assassination in Quebec. I thought there was a different way to deal with this. So that's the connection of that. Now, that happened in October of 1970. Now, we just had a few days ago this lone terrorist, and he also is from Quebec. His mother is French-Canadian, or he well, he's dead now. Anyway, this is the second terrorist attack in Canada. And, of course, a lot of the media people either ignored the history or are ignorant of it. So these things go on. Also, we were supposed to replay the interview I did with George Christopher, the former mayor, the late mayor, the great mayor, who brought the San Francisco Giants to San Francisco. And it was quite a coup that he pulled off because both the Dodgers and the Giants were New York teams. Excuse me. And the Dodgers were going to go to L.A. They were going to get a stadium built in Chavez Ravine. And they couldn't have two teams down there because both the Dodgers and the Giants thought that there were greener pastures. And we're talking about greenbacks, dollars, in California. And so George Christopher decided, well, if the Dodgers go to L.A., we should try to get the Giants. And that, so every weekend he would fly to New York and drink scotch and negotiate with Horace Stoneham to move the Dodgers to San Francisco. He succeeded in the negotiations, and the deal was to build a stadium, which was Candlestick Park, which is going to be torn down now because we have Giants Stadium, which will be occupied tonight and the next few games. We don't know if the Giants are going to win tonight or Kansas City. Anyway, we've got World Series fever here. And so if you're coming here, just be aware of your surroundings. And also, a lot of people think that if you put a club on your steering wheel, that this discourages auto theft. No, it doesn't. What has happened, and I speak from experience, is they cut the steering wheel. If you do have the club, you should get an alarm put on, because at least if they mess with the steering wheel, the alarm goes off, and that would discourage auto theft, although a determined auto thief will figure a way to circumvent even your electronic auto alarm. But don't leave things in your car. Even if you're coming after the World Series, what we consider our summer here. If you're coming to visit and to see the sights and all that, just be aware that we have become the auto burglary capital of Northern California. On this block alone where I live, 8 cars were stolen over Labor Day weekend. When a neighbor had a car 4 days, and that was stolen. And so you've got to be, protect yourself. Don't invite inquiries. They'll be looking in the windows to see what they can break in and steal. It happens, believe me. Excuse me. Now, we're going to be back on a special Tuesday, October 28th, because it has great significance to what happened to a U.S. Navy sailor, an 18-year-old boy, several years ago, almost 20 years ago. And, of course, a lot of this was covered up in the media, but it affects the due process rights of every U.S. military serviceman and woman. Women have been abused by local civilian authority. We had a case up in Solano County, the Adcock case. It's a woman who was thrown into county jail up there, and she filed a lawsuit because of the way they treated her. It does happen, it has happened, and it will continue to happen unless people become aware and realize that we expect these people to defend us and to die for us, and we should defend them when they come into conflict with local civil authority. We're going to end, I'm losing my voice again, with our usual politics and poker, and only this Tuesday instead of Monday, 3:30, hopefully nothing will happen. We will have a special show on why that October 28th is a very important date in California's state and federal judicial history. We're going to end with our usual politics and poker. Have a safe weekend. Enjoy watching on TV if you're a baseball fan. The Giants, San Francisco Giants versus the Kansas City Royals. Believe it or not, there are people in San Francisco rooting for the Royals. Mm. Excuse me. Mm. I'm losing my voice. So here we go. Politics and poker, our ending theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you 5. Pony, up to you. What are you
going
to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game for children, neither game is rough. Decisions,
like who to
pick, how to play,
how to bet,
where's the call?
poker? Which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Before I go, we just put up an important YouTube, Amicus Veritas YouTube, AMICUS, VERITAS. We're waiting to get a response from this employer. By chance, we witnessed and several of us witnessed a woman not using gloves, handling pizza cheese with her bare hands. And also she handled sausages and sausage and salad and a few other things for pizza. And a lot of people go to this particular place to get pizza. We also witnessed, and some others who were with us witnessed, a young man doing the same thing, handling food without having gloves on there. And with Ebola, tuberculosis, hepatitis, and enterovirus, venereal disease, AIDS, and all that, and flu and West Nile virus, there's the question of whether or not people in the food service industry should be wearing masks and be using gloves. So if you're going out, be careful of where you're eating and make sure be as careful as possible and checking out that the establishment is using sanitary methods to handle the food that they're selling and serving to you. So we'll be back on Tuesday, October 28th at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, and we'll get into more of the Washington Post and why it's the only newspaper where a piece of music was written for them, and the other connections of the Washington Post and also the other paper, the San Francisco Bay Guardian, because there may be more of these freebie alternative left-wing papers that are going to die. So be safe and have a safe weekend. Good night. Hmm.